The Man Restored Who Was Born Blind, Chapter 49. Do you see the beggar sitting near the entrance of the temple? He is a wretched person. He is blind. Because he is blind, he is unable to work. In order to provide for himself, he must beg. Every day, as he sits there, he listens for people to walk by. Then he raises his head questioningly and extends his hand for alms. This man's blindness did not come from sickness or an accident. No, he has been blind from his birth. Oh, give this serious thought. Surely it is terrible. He never was able to see his father or mother, or know anything of nature's beauty. As a young boy, he had a gloomy, sad life. Other children of his age played and romped. He couldn't, because he was blind. To him, it was always night, because a beam of light never penetrated to him. Besides, his blindness was incurable. Anyone who is blind from birth never can expect restoration. The years passed by. Years of grief and misery. Now he is a man and daily sits begging at the gate of the temple. The inhabitants of Jerusalem know this afflicted man very well, and they have seen him sitting there so often. It has become a regular custom. On this Sabbath day, we again see him sitting before the house of the Lord. Suddenly, a few men leave the temple. They are the Lord Jesus and his disciples. The angry cry of the Pharisees who want to stone him still rings before him. Because he had said he was alive before Abraham was born, the Pharisees were angry. Jesus leaves the temple because his life is in danger. However, he does not flee as one who is chased. He shows no uneasiness or fear. No, quietly and calmly he departs. Jesus and his disciples approach this blind, afflicted beggar. Master, the disciples suddenly ask, who did sin, this man or his parents? It is as if they say, Master, why was it this man was born blind? Was it a punishment for some sin? No, the Lord Jesus answers, it is not a punishment for a certain special gross sin. This man has been born blind so God would be glorified. I am the light of the world. When the Lord comes near to this man, he stands still. He spits upon the ground, and with the spittle makes a little clay. He then spreads this mud upon the eyes of the blind man. Why does Jesus do this? It surely is no remedy to heal this blind man, is it? If Jesus had taken some water and washed the eyes of the blind man, it could be possible. But clay is a wrong kind of remedy. The ailment would become worse instead of serving as a cure. Still, Jesus uses this completely wrong remedy in order for his power to appear more illustrious. God's glory must be revealed. Jesus says to this man who was born blind, go wash in the pool of Siloam. We told you in the former chapter that the pool of Siloam was a pond which lay at the foot of Mount Zion. After Jesus had said this, the blind man stands up and carefully feeling his way, he quickly goes down the hill. He immediately obeyed the command of the Lord Jesus, believing Jesus was able to cure him. A short time later, he returns. Calmly and quietly, he climbs the hill. He does not feel and grope uncertainly as before, because now he can see. Oh, and for the first time in his life, he can see the blue heavens. Before this, he never saw the beauty of the temple buildings or the dark green of the trees. What was seemingly impossible has come to pass. He is cured of his blindness. Who would be able to describe what went on in the heart of this man? Just look at his eyes, which sparkle from gladness, and his happy smile. A man is walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Undoubtedly, he is on his way home. And when he comes to the street where his parents live, the people look at him in astonishment. Isn't he the blind man who always sat at the temple and begged? One asked. Yes, really, it is he, another says. Impossible, it cannot be, a third says doubtfully. They cannot believe their eyes. Some think he is another person who looks a great deal like the blind man. The man who was born blind, for it is he, hears what the neighbors and acquaintances say. He smiles, and his eyes sparkle with joy. Yes, he answers, I am he. You are not mistaken. Soon he is surrounded by a group of inquisitive people. How is it you are able to see? They ask him wonderingly. He answers, the man named Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes. He told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I did so, and now I can see. Where is Jesus now? They ask inquiringly. I do not know, he answers. I did not meet him since I have been cured. Come, they propose, go with us. We will tell the Pharisees, the rulers. Together they go to the assembly of the Sanhedrin. See them sitting there, those distinguished men, the leaders of the Jewish people, the recovered man who was born blind, and this man's neighbors and acquaintances stand before them. The Pharisees survey the cured blind man with sharp, distrustful eyes. They will investigate this affair minutely. So, they say, you have received your sight. Will you tell us exactly how it happened? Tell us what he did to you. Oh, it was done very simply, this man informs them. Jesus made clay and put it on my eyes. After that, I washed myself, as he told me, and I could see. A moment of profound silence prevails after this plain narrative. The Pharisees are embarrassed with this case, and they cannot deny that something great has been done. This man, they mean Jesus, is not of God, for he desecrates the Sabbath, some of them say. Probably you are thinking, desecrate? What was the wrong Jesus did? According to the Pharisees, Jesus worked. Didn't he make clay? And making clay is working, which is not permitted on the Sabbath. Isn't it nonsense? Don't you think so too, boys and girls? It is laughable. Others shake their heads and say, but how can a man who is a sinner and who purposely desecrates the Sabbath do such great miracles? The rulers begin to quarrel with each other. They do not agree. Finally, they ask the man who was born blind, but what do you say of him? What do you think of him? Immediately, his answer rings out. He is a prophet. Did you hear what he says? He had said to his neighbors and acquaintances, the man Jesus, and now he says, he is a prophet. Slowly, this man is learning to know who Jesus really is. The Pharisees still do not agree with each other. Suddenly, one of them questions, Is this man really the man who was born blind? Isn't it all based upon an error? The lords of the Sanhedrin want positiveness. They hope this entire affair is a mistake. Call the father and mother of this man, they command. A little later, his parents come in. They are bewildered and do not know or surmise what these rulers want from them. Is this your son? They ask these two people sternly. And if he is, how is it he can now see? Great confusion overpowers these common people. What must their answer be? They dare not tell the truth, for they fear the Pharisees. Why? The rulers of the Jews have made a decision that anyone who believed and acknowledged that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah would be cast out of the synagogue. He would be excommunicated. He would not be allowed to come into the synagogue again. It was a heavy punishment. Therefore, they answered very carefully, "Yes, he really is our son who was blind from birth, but we do not know how it is he now can see. You should ask him yourself. He is old and sensible enough to answer you." What do you think? Did the father and mother really know how their son received his sight? Of course they knew, but they dare not say so. Fear caused them to be silent. However, in this way the rulers make no progress. "Come here," they command the man who was born blind. He obeys. "Listen," the Pharisees say gruffly, "your being cured is not because of Jesus, for he is a sinful person. Give God the praise for your recovery." It is as if they say, "You need not have any respect for Jesus, for he is a sinner." Read what is recorded in John. "This man," they say disdainfully. The man who was born blind answers somewhat resentfully, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." "What did he do? How is it you can now see?" they inquire again. Oh, they would like very much to belittle the miracle of the Lord Jesus. Could they but hold this Nazarene up to ridicule? Again, they ask about the miracle, hoping they may find something. Probably he will say something contradictory. "I already have told you," answers the man. "Must I tell it again? Do you also want to become disciples of the Lord Jesus?" Mischievously and half mockingly, he looks at the rulers. They cast furious glances at him and snarl abusively, "You are his disciple. We are not. What do you think? We are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses. We know God called Moses at the burning bush. We cannot say this of Jesus. We never heard any such thing about him. We do not know from whence he is." An unbelieving, distrustful, and scornful ring is heard in their voices. The man who was born blind hears it. He sees it in the false look in their eyes. He reads the scorn on their wrathful faces. It is something he cannot endure. What? Must they slander and blaspheme Jesus too? He can no longer be silent. He answers boldly and at the same time indignantly, "That is just what is so marvelous. You don't know from where Jesus really comes. You don't know who gave him his power. And still, he opened my eyes. If Jesus were truly a sinful man, God would not hear him, for sinners shall be punished. If the Lord Jesus were not sent by God, he could do nothing. God hears and answers the godly." Unafraid, he looks at the angered members of the Sanhedrin. But look at those Pharisees. They turn pale with rage. Their eyes sparkle ominously. They clench their fists. What? They burst loose. Their faces distorted with rage. What? Will you teach us what we should do? Will you teach us? Do not get any ideas. You only are one of the common people. We are the teachers. We are the rulers. Do you know why the Pharisees are so angry? Inwardly, they feel the truth of what this unlearned man tells them. They receive from him a formidable lesson, but they do not want to admit it. Neither will they listen to the warning voice of their consciences. They rebel against it. And the result is they cast him out of the synagogue. He is excommunicated. He is rejected. No one may talk to him anymore. No one may be friendly with him. Everyone must treat him with contempt. See the man who was born blind once again walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He is an outcast. He may not even go into the house of the Lord to thank God for his miraculous recovery. Cast out. And why? Because he agreed with Jesus. Because he had defended Jesus. While he walks onward in deep thoughts, he suddenly sees Jesus. No, the Bible does not tell us that. Read what is recorded in John. Jesus found him. So, he does not find Jesus, but Jesus finds him. The Lord knows they have cast him out, and now Jesus will go to him. The good shepherd will seek his sheep, who is rejected by those other shepherds. Jesus asks him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" "Who is he, Lord?" asks the man who was born blind, "that I might believe on him." The answer of the Savior rings out, "I am he who is talking to you." Momentarily, the man who was born blind stares at Jesus. Then he says with a voice full of emotion, "Lord, I believe." Yes, more than that, he not only says it, but he worships the Lord Jesus. Oh, it is as if the eyes of his soul have been opened. He believes the word which Jesus said to him. A holy joy fills his soul. The grief caused by the humiliating treatment of the proud Pharisees is gone. All his cares are gone too. A wonderful peace descends into his soul, and the Pharisees cannot take away this peace. This is that peace which God gives to his people, to his elect. The man who was born blind was rejected by the Pharisees, but he was accepted by Jesus. The blind beggar was not only cured from his bodily blindness, but his soul was saved from eternal damnation. Do you know anything of that peace, of that joy in your soul? No? Then you are poor, children. Ask the Lord also to open your blind eyes and to give you that peace which this man also received. The same Jesus still lives. He granted it to the man who was born blind. He can grant it to you too. If that were your portion, you would be blessed indeed, blessed for time and for eternity.